माधवा जया कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधवा जया कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वाला जय गिरिवारादारी जय गिरिवारादारी जय गोपी जन वाला जय गिरिवारादारी जय गिरिवारादारी जय गोपी जनवाला जय गिरिवारादारी जय गिरिवारादारी जय गोपी जनवाला यशोदनांदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनांदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनांदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनांदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारिया यमुना तीरावनचारी तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारे जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारे जय गोपी जन वाला जय गिरिवारादारे जय गिरिवारादारे जय गिरिवारादारे जय गिरिवारादारे जय गोपी जन वाला जय गिरिवारादारे जय गिरिवारादारे जय गोपी जन वाला जय गिरिवारादारे जय गिरिवारादारे यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनांदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदनांदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरा Yamunacharya Yamunate Yamunate Ravanacharya Yamunate Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivraja Kacharya Stutra Shata Shishya Mata Bhai Charanin Bhaktivedanta Swami Shila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Искон бивити самстапака чаря сила правопада кийджай. Грантарачи мадбагватам кийджай. Самавета бхактавринда кийджай. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to Шиши Гуру and Гуранга. All glories to сила правопада. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya Narayanam namaskritya Naram chaiva narottamam Devim sarasvatim vyasam Tato jaya mudirayet Nashtaprayeshva badrishu Anitya bhagavata sevaya Bhagavatyutama shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. We're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 29. Explanation of Devotional Service, Text 24. Aham Uchavachai Dravyai Kriyaya Utpannaya Anage Na eva tusye architaha archayam bhutagrama avamanina aham uchavachair dravyai aham uchavachair dravyai kriyayot Pannayanaghe Kriyayot Pannayanaghe Naivatusyerchitorchayam Bhutagramavamanina Aham uchavachair dravyai Kriyayot panaye naghe Naivatusyerchitorchayam Bhutagramavamanina Next, please. Vachair dravyai Chandra Ladies. Aham, I, Uchavachai, with various Dravyai, paraphernalia, Kriyaya, by religious rituals, Utpannaya, accomplished, Anage, O sinless mother, Na, not. Eva, certainly, Tushye, am pleased, Architaha, worshipped, Archayam, in the deity form, Bhutagrama, to other living entities, Avamanina, with those who are disrespectful. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. My dear mother, even if he worships with proper rituals and paraphernalia, a person who is ignorant of my presence in all living entities never pleases me by the worship of my deities in the temple. Purport. There are 64 different prescriptions for worship of the deity in the temple. There are many items offered to the deity, some valuable and some less valuable. It is prescribed in Bhagavad Gita, if a devotee offers me a small flower, leaf, some water or a little fruit, I will accept it. The real purpose is to exhibit one's loving devotion to the Lord. The offerings themselves are secondary. If one has not developed loving devotion to the Lord and simply offers many kinds of foodstuffs, fruits and flowers without real devotion, the offering will not be accepted by the Lord. We cannot bribe the personality of Godhead. He is so great that our bribery has no value. Nor has he any scarcity. Since he is full in himself, what can we offer him? Everything is produced by Him. We simply offer to show our love and gratitude to the Lord. This gratitude and love for God is exhibited by a pure devotee who knows that the Lord lives in every living entity. As such, temple worship necessarily includes distribution of prasada. It is not that one should create a temple in his private apartment or private room, offer something to the Lord, and then eat. Of course, that is better than simply cooking foodstuffs and eating without understanding one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. People who act in this manner are just like animals. But a devotee who wants to elevate himself to the higher level of understanding must know that the Lord is present in every living entity. And as stated in the previous verse, one should be compassionate to other living entities. A devotee should worship the Supreme Lord, be friendly to the persons who are on the same level, and be compassionate to the ignorant. One should exhibit this compassion for ignorant living entities by distributing prasada. Distributing of prasada to the ignorant masses of people is essential for the persons who make offering to the personality of Godhead. Real love and devotion is accepted by the Lord. Many valuable foodstuffs may be presented to a person, but if a person is not hungry, all such offerings are useless for him. Similarly, we may offer many valuable items to the deity, but if we have no real sense of devotion and no real sense of the Lord's presence everywhere, then we are lacking in devotional service. In such a state of ignorance, we cannot offer anything acceptable to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki. Aham mucha vachair dravyai kriyayot pannaya nage naivatus yarchitor chayam bhuta grama vamaninaha. My dear mother, even if he worships with proper rituals and paraphernalia, a person who is ignorant of my presence in all living entities never pleases me by the worship of my deities in the temple. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpataravyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Ajanulambita Bhujo Kanaka Vadato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Daksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Vataro. Yontah pravishya mama vachim imam prasuptam sanjivaya takila shakti darak svadhamna anyamscha hasta charana shravanat vagadim prananamo bhagavate purushaya tubhyam. So in this very important section of the 29th chapter of the 3rd canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev describes the importance of the respect towards the every living entity. This particular chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam started from the question of Devahuti, who asked, please explain me bhakti, because now I know about the creation. But the bhakti is the root of creation. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically explains in the purport to the first verse that Devahuti wants to know what is bhakti because she wants to know the root cause of the creation. Ultimately, the root cause of the creation is love. It's devotion. There is no other cause. So after describing all this to Devahuti, she still wants to know something else, what is the nature of bhakti. And Lord Kapila Dev starts explaining the bhakti in a very specific manner by explaining how bhakti becomes affected by the consciousness of the performer. Bhakti itself is transcendental. Bhakti is pure. There is no question of bhakti being in the mode of ignorance. But if our consciousness is in the mode of ignorance or in the mode of passion or in the mode of goodness, then inadvertently, without even being conscious about it, we mix our performance of devotional service with some other motives. And Lord Kapila Dev, with some details, explained what are the performance of bhakti in the modes of nature. We may or may not notice it. Most probably we will not notice it. But some ulterior motives will be mixed with our devotional service. He says if one worships the Lord and at the same time, you know, he hates somebody and he worships the Lord just to prove that he is wrong and I am right, or somehow or other get back to him or whatever. This is the devotion in the mode of ignorance. You may worship the Lord and at the same time you have this competitive mood. I want to be better. I want to show to everyone that I am the best devotee. You know, the best ever. You know, there was nobody like me in the creation. This is mode of passion. You know, you may, you know, and you deceive yourself. You think that this is, yeah, I'm so devoted. I just want to show everyone how devoted I am. But this is the mode of passion. This is Rajagun. Rajagun, which is characterized by the desire to enjoy, And you want to enjoy by performing devotional service. And by performing devotional service, you inflate your sense of self-importance. And this is how you're trying to perform the devotional service. And this is Rajagun mixing with devotional service from your consciousness. Devotional service is always pure, but still, you contaminate devotional service by mixing these motives with your desire to worship the Lord. And then if you desire some liberation, and this is very common among devotees, this is very subtle. This we usually don't understand. But really, we just want liberation. We're just sick and tired of this material world. And that's why, okay, we will worship the Lord. If this will give us liberation from all the sufferings of this material world, fine. We're ready to do it. If he wants us to come to Mangalarati, okay. But there is one condition. I want to be free from all the sufferings. So this is the contamination of the mode of goodness. And Lord Kapila Dev explains this, but at the same time, after explaining this three modes or three varieties of devotional service, he says that very quickly the devotional service itself purifies the heart of the performer. It's a very natural process. It comes through the devotional service because devotional service is invested with Hladini Shakti. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains it very clearly, and also Srila Rupa Goswami, that bhakti carries Hladini Shakti in all the performances of devotional service. All the processes of devotional service are invested with Hladini Shakti. And when we hear about the Lord, when we speak about the Lord, when we worship the Holy Dham, when we go on parikrama, there is a great, totally unexplainable bliss which is coming in our heart. And this blissful feeling, which is invested into the process of devotional service, purifies the heart from all other motives in a very natural way. But there is one problem, only one problem. This problem is called offenses. And Lord Kapila Dev, explaining very quickly this process of purifying the heart from the or consciousness from the modes of material nature, he comes to this topic of offenses. And he says that the devotional service can purify your heart very quickly. There is no problem without it. But there is one condition. You should not perform offenses. You should not commit aparads. If you commit aparads, if you perform your devotional service and at the same time commit offenses, then the devotional service is useless. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Lord Kapila Dev speaks these verses in a very angry mood. He's angry. He's warning us. He says, you may worship me, but this worship will be useless, totally useless. Moreover, it will not only be useless, it will bring you further away from the Lord. And this is the definition of aparada. Apagadarada iti aparada. Whatever brings us further away from love is called aparada. These two things are totally opposite to each other. Love means softness of the heart. Love means the selfless desire to give yourself. But aparada brings completely opposite result to our heart and takes us away from the Lord. Devotional service, even if we perform it without so much consciousness, even if we perform it without so much understanding, even if we perform it with some contamination which is coming from our consciousness, it's fine. It purifies our heart very quickly. But if we at the same time not careful and commit offenses, then the result of it will be completely opposite. Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami explains this in Bhakti Sandarbha. And Srila Prabhupada also explains how it works. He says, if somebody worships the Lord, but at the same time do not appreciate his presence in the heart of living entity, then the Lord doesn't accept his worship. Srila Jiva Goswami gives the example of Duryodhana. Duryodhana was trying to worship the Lord. When Krishna came to Hastinapur, being the messenger of Pandavas, Duryodhana, he had a special planning committee. You know, for a few nights, he was talking with all his associates, and they were planning how to receive the Lord in the best possible way. You know, the best paraphernalia. They had, you know, the special management committee. Like before the festival, we have our management committee. So Duryodhana knew that the Lord is coming, and he planned everything very nicely. The best cooks, the best palace for the Lord, the best reception, the best dancing girls. Everything was there. And the Lord came, and Duryodhana said, "My dear Lord, we are very happy." And the girls were dancing, and the music was playing. And the best cooks came. The best prasadam was about to be offered to the Lord. And Duryodhana invited him, "Please come to your palace. We prepared a very nice palace for you, and the best prasadam is there." Why did he do it? He wanted to bribe the Lord. This is exactly what Srila Prabhupada says in this purport. He wanted to bribe the Lord. He really didn't like the Lord. He didn't really have any personal relationship with him, but he wanted to give him some little bribe, you know, as we're used to do it in the material world, especially in Russia and, of course, here in India. This is a very common practice, you know. This is the way to maintain relationship. You give some bribe underneath the table. And then what happened? The Lord said, "I don't need your bribes." And Duryodhana, he became angry. He said, "You have no right. I was trying my best. I prepared the best food to you." And the Lord said, "I don't have to take it. You may offer it to me, but I don't have to take it." And he said a very important thing. He said, you know, one eats the food because of two reasons. One reason is when one is hungry. If you are hungry, then you eat food and you don't care, you know, who offers you the food and what kind of food it is. You're just hungry. You just want to eat the food. And another reason is that if it's offered with love. And the Lord said, "You're not offering this food to me with love, and I am not hungry. Sorry for this." And that's exactly what Srila Prabhupada explains. The Lord is not hungry. The Lord is full in himself. And the only thing which can create hunger in his heart is our love. He is hungry. There is no doubt about it. He is, you know, his hunger ever increases, but there is only one item which creates this hunger in his heart. This is our love. And if we do something for formality's sake, and if we do something with the hatred towards other living entities, then this devotional service is not pleasing to the Lord, and he don't accept our devotional service. He doesn't accept our devotional service. And this is a very important principle which the Lord himself explained to Duryodhana. When he refused to take his prasadam, to take the bhoga offered to him, and then he said, "I don't take it because you hate Pandavas." And the hatred which is there in your heart, the hatred towards my devotees, is the worst item, and you're offering it to me together with the prasadam, so I'm rejecting it. I'm not taking it. And this is a very important lesson for all of us, because and Srila Jiva Goswami said that when we serve the Lord and at the same time hate the devotees, or disrespect devotees, or neglect devotees, or criticize devotees, this is called crookedness. This is called kautilyam in Sanskrit. Kautilyam means your heart is crooked and you're duplicitous. Duplicity means, this is the definition of duplicity, which is given by Srila Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha. If you worship the Lord and at the same time you don't worship the devotees who are dear to the Lord. And this is the worst thing which we can do. And unfortunately, this is what we do every day of our life. And the Lord says, I am not going to accept the devotional service of such a person. And specifically, very specifically, this world, our maninach means criticizing the devotees. The Lord speaks several verses and he says hatred to the divorce, hatred to living entities, disrespect to living entities, neglect to living entities. These four things are explained in this series of verses. But the last and the worst thing which is there is this avamaninach, which specifically means criticizing the devotees. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur again, he gives a very interesting angle to this. He says, here in these verses, and the Lord says, living entities in general, that this is very bad to disrespect living entities in general. It's very bad to envy living entities in general, inflict pain to living entities in general, criticize living entities in general. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a very interesting detail to this statement. He says that the Lord means specifically the devotees. Because when you disrespect other living entities, when you disrespect or criticize some other living entities or whatever in general, then occasionally you may do it towards the devotees. And this is the worst thing. The worst thing which we can do is actually, and this is very painful to the Lord, to the Lord's heart, is when we criticize the devotees specifically. And it's sometimes very difficult to recognize a devotee. Sometimes we somehow or other feel free to criticize other devotees, but this is what we should not do under any circumstances. Because this is what creates pain in Lord's heart. And therefore, it creates very negative effect on our consciousness. Srila Jiva Goswami says that this effect is fivefold. First, you become more and more crooked. You create this act of crookedness, criticizing the devotees, offending the devotees, and then your tendency to be hypocritical becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. You just give way to this tendency. This tendency ultimately takes over, and you become totally crooked in your heart. And the Lord doesn't like it. You know, here in Vrindavan, Krishna is crooked. He is called Tribhanga. Tribhanga means he is crooked in three places. And this is his privilege. He likes to be crooked himself, but he doesn't like when his devotees are crooked. He is a very special person. He wants his devotees to be straightforward. He wants them to be straight, and he remains crooked. That's fine. But we cannot imitate him. We cannot, perform this devotional service being crooked. And therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami says, if one continues these offenses towards the devotees of the Lord, and then he loses his faith. He becomes ashrada. Ashrada comes as a natural result of offenses. Ashrada means you lose the faith. You basically, you're already crooked, you're already hypocritical, and ultimately you don't believe in the Lord. You don't believe in his power. He again gave the example of Duryodhana. Duryodhana, the Lord came and Duryodhana wanted to serve him. And Lord rejected his devotional service. And then what Duryodhana wanted to do, he wanted to imprison him. He wanted to bind him. Somehow or other, he wanted to imitate Mother Yashoda. Mother Yashoda bound the Lord and Duryodhana also wanted to bind the Lord. But the Lord said, you can only bind me with love. You cannot bind me with your crooked means. And he showed him the universal form. And then what Duryodhana said to this? Ah, come on. Useless. Some mystic power. Anyone has mystic power in India, you know. Any sweeper in the street of Vrindavan has some mystic power. And Srila Jiva Goswami says, this is called ashrada. Ashrada means you see the glory of the devotee, you cannot recognize him. You see the glory of the Lord, you cannot recognize him. You cannot really relate to this glory and you explain it out in some foolish, stupid way. Mystic power or whatever. You cannot really see the things as they are. And this is called ashrada. Because Shraddha should be the glasses through which we see the world and through which we relate with this world. And then he says that the next item or the next result of these offenses is that it's also very interesting. He says that the next item is Bhagavat Nishta Chyavaka Vastv Abhinivesha. And that means that you become attached to the things which destroy your Nishta or your faith in the Lord. Not only you become faithless yourself, you develop the attachments to the very things which destroy your faith. You become totally absorbed in these things. You become absorbed in the things which are very detrimental to devotional service. And this is again the results of aparadas. Srila Jiva Goswami gives the example of Bharat Muni. He says that Bharat Muni committed some offense. And Bharat Muni, in the forest, despite of achieving the very high level of devotional service, he got totally absorbed in his attraction towards the little deer. And Srila Jiva Goswami says, this is the results of aparadas. You know, you gave up everything. He gave up everything. He had the beautiful wife. He had beautiful son. You know, he just turned away from them as if it was a pile of stool. I'm sorry to say this. It's not very popular nowadays, but this is the direct quote from Srimad Bhagavatam. Bharat Maharaj, he turned away from them. He renounced everything. One day he just walked out from his palace. For what? To develop some little attachment to little deer. Now, he had beautiful palace, all the riches of the world, you know, beautiful wife, beautiful son, and these all things he gave up to develop attachment to little baby deer. So stupid. So totally, completely unreasonable. Why? Because of the offenses. This is the result. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he gave this explanation also in regard to the story in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Ramachandra Puri. And he says, Ramachandra Puri, he became the offender of the devotees. And because he became the offender of the devotees, vasanas from the previous karma surfaced in his consciousness. When we perform devotional service, then all the vasanas, all the desires become subsided. They become weakened. We don't really feel so much desires. Of course, some desires are there just for a change, you know. We cannot live without desires. But really, they don't have so much power. The devotional service itself kind of withdraws the power from the material desires. Desires cannot rule us, cannot control us anymore. But when we perform offenses, the desires come back with the new invigorated force. He said that's exactly what happened with Ramachandra Puri. Ramachandra Puri, because he offended Madhavendra Puri, because of this vasanas, the desires became so strong, he couldn't control himself. He just went around and started finding faults in each and every devotee. And again, this is the result of the offense. And this is what Jiva Goswami says. He says, you become absorbed in the very things which are very detrimental. You know that it's bad, but you can't control yourself. You know that watching TV is very bad. You know, but you can't control yourself. You just want to watch this stupid thing, you know. And then the natural result of this, slackness of sadhana. You become very slack in your performance of bhakti. The performance of bhakti doesn't bring you, it's called bhakti shaitilya. Performance of bhakti doesn't give you any real pleasure. And then the crown, the last and the very most important result of the offense is that svabhakti adi krita maninam. Svabhakti adi krita maninam means you become proud by your achievements, specifically in bhakti. Svabhakti adi. Everything else you also try to, you know, you try to show how great you are. You become very proud and you ascribe to yourself all the achievements. You say, I'm so great, you know, look at me, how great I am. Why don't you recognize it? After all, I opened so many temples, I distributed so many books, I'm such a great devotee. You know, I preached to so many people, I changed the hearts of everyone, including myself. It became really hard now. So, what happens with such, as a result of the offenses, you become really proud. And this pride is the psychological compensation. You really feel that you're a failure in devotional service. You know that you're a failure. Total, complete failure. But you cannot really face it. You cannot really recognize it and say honestly that I failed. And therefore, you try to justify yourself and you try to, you know, ascribe to yourself all these achievements, forgetting the very simple ABC of devotional service, that we are not the doer. Who did everything? The Lord everything is doing. You know, He is doing everything. No. Svabhakti adi krita manitvam. That's me. You know. Aham. What is this? Aham karta, aham bhogi, whatever. It's demonic mentality, this pride. And Srila Jiva Goswami says that this is the vicious circle of aparats, because being proud, you commit new offenses. You perform devotional service, you hope that by devotional service you purify your heart. A result of this, you commit more and more offenses, and this snowball of offenses becomes very big, and ultimately buries all your devotional service underneath. So this is very bad, and therefore Lord Kapiladev, in a very angry mood, says these verses. He says, beware of offenses, beware of offenses, beware of offenses. If you want to criticize devotees, specifically again, this is the worst thing which you can do, criticize the devotees. Somehow or other, we don't care about this. You know, hating other living entities, that we may be little bit careful, you know. We're not killing others, at least consciously, you know. But criticizing, this is not a bad thing, you know. What's the big deal? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes the verse from 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And in 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Himself tells Uddhava that when you take an arrow and you pierce the chest of somebody, the pain which somebody feels when you pierce his chest with the arrow is less than when you take a bad word and say this bad word towards this living entity. The pain which is inflicted by the words is greater. We think that it's fine, you know, we shouldn't kill anyone, but we can criticize. No, it's worse. It's worse, but somehow or other we feel immense pleasure when we do it. There is a joking saying in Sanskrit, Ninda rasa piba. Oh mind, please drink this nectarian beverage of ninda, of offenses, of criticizing others. This is such a nectar. You know, the mind cannot stop doing it. You know, you say something bad about others and you feel so good in your heart. You know, it's really great. You feel very elevated by doing this. You are really advancing in devotional service. and the definition of offense or definition of this criticizing, this criticism, ninda. Ninda means dosha kirtanam, para dosha kirtanam. When you try to, you know, glorify or speak about the defects of other living entities, of other people, of other devotees, this is ninda. And this ninda is the worst offense. And therefore, Kapiladev says here, you know, if somebody is doing this, I'm not going to accept his devotional service. I'm not going to accept his devotional service. This Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he says in the purport to the story of Ramachandra Puri, he says that if somebody wants to make a progress in devotional service, if somebody wants to really progress in bhakti, he has to give one vow. And he has to follow this vow religiously till the end of his life. This vow is very simple. I should not criticize any devotee. I should never criticize any devotee under any circumstances. Then I will be able to make the progress in my devotional service. Even Chanakya Pandit, who is not a great devotee, but he is just a worldly moralist, he gives a very interesting verse in his Niti Shastra. He says, if somebody wants to conquer the whole world, and who doesn't? You know, everyone wants to conquer by some trick. He says, there is one activity, and you want to know which one activity will help you to conquer the whole world. He says, there is one activity. And this one activity is very simple. Don't criticize anyone. Then you will conquer the whole world. Because you will conquer the hearts of living entities. You will become dear to the hearts of every living entity if you do this simple thing, not to say bad about others. In Mahabharata, there is also a very important statement in this regard. It is said that there is nothing more detrimental, or there is nothing more, the body ages, our body ages because of travel. The travel is very bad for the body. It is said that the mountain becomes old because of the rain. The woman becomes old because of unfulfilled desire. And the man's heart or the man's consciousness becomes old because of the criticism of others. You know, you become really old in your heart. Yeah, it varies your heart. As much as the traveling, is very bad for your body. As much as the rain is very bad for the mountain, as much as unfulfilled desire is very bad for the beauty of the lady, it's very bad generally for our consciousness. Our consciousness becomes really, sometimes you see these old people who used to criticize other people, and they become really hateful at the end of their life. You know, they just hate everyone. You don't want to approach these people. Because this is the result. This is what is happening with our consciousness if we do it. And therefore, Lord Kapila Dev, he is very strong about this. He says, you can do whatever you like, but please don't do this. And if you do this, and at the same time you offer me so much paraphernalia and do it everything perfectly, all the mudras and, all these, tricks, I don't care about this. You cannot bribe me with all those things, Who cares about this? You can bring me the best things, you can bring me the most, valuable things. I will not accept. It's all coming from me. I'm not pleased. I am only pleased with the softness of the heart. And the softness of the heart comes to somebody who really learns how to not criticize others. And if one does something opposite to this, then the heart becomes harder and harder and harder. And especially this is, this is in relationship to our spiritual master, because the tendency is there. Krishna himself uses the same word. Here it is said, avamaninah. And Krishna himself says, navamanyata karhichit. If somebody criticizes his spiritual master, I will not become pleased. Why? Because he is sarvadeva mayo guru. He is somebody who is the manifestation of all the demigods. He is somebody who gives us devotional service. But the tendency is there. There is this Shanti Patha in several Upanishads, very famous verse, which usually is being chanted by the guru and the students before they start reciting or start studying the scriptures. This verse, what is this? Sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, sahaviryam karavavahar, तेजस्विनाम वधित मास्तुन मा विद्विषा वहाय ओम शांति शांति शांति. And the specific meaning of this verse, this is the prayer which Guru and disciples offer together before starting studying the scriptures. And he says, Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, give us our bread and give us, protect us from everything. And the last thing is that, please protect us from envy towards each other. Ma vidvisha. Because this is a natural tendency in a living entity. This envy which lives in our heart, sometimes, occasionally, it manifests towards certain objects which we should never manifest it. And that's specifically the devotees of the Lord, and more specifically, the devotees from whom we are dependent in our devotional progress. So this is a very important lesson for every of us. One of us, I don't know, I probably overstepped my license. I don't know when I should finish the verse. Okay, so we can finish this now. Thank you very much. And Padre Narayan Prabhu definitely has a question.
The only thing weighing on my heart, because I was thinking of all my many, my own nature. So I, very excellent, Marsh. Thank you. You said in the beginning that the root cause of creation is devotion or love. Yeah. You know, that Kapila has explained Sankhya Yoga, but the root cause, how is that?
Because it is explained ultimately by Kapila Dev that the Lord created this whole creation, this world, out of His love towards living entity. The real purpose of this creation is to actually rectify the wayward living entities. And whatever is happening in this creation, whatever means are there in this creation, and they just means, this is the indirect manifestation of the mercy of the Lord towards us. He wants to rectify us. He wants to bring us closer to Him. And therefore, He created this. And this is the root cause. This is what Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says in the beginning, and that struck me. That's a very powerful statement indeed. He says that's why this explanation of Sankhya philosophy cannot be complete unless you explain the nature of bhakti, unless you understand that the root cause of creation is bhakti, is love of God. Yes. Yes, Vijay Prabhu.
You mentioned that Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur said that as long as we're committing offenses while engaged in devotional service, we go further away from Krishna.
Jiva Goswami.
But my understanding is that we're committing these 10 offenses. Because we're committing these 10 offenses, we don't love Krishna. So it seems like...
See, there is a secret. We're offensive by nature. What is offensive about us? The very fact that we have this body is a very offensive fact. This body is offensive by nature. This body always steps over somebody, you know, and this body is kind of dirty. Sometimes the offensive smell is coming from the body. And the mind is, by its very nature, is very offensive, right? The body and the mind is very offensive. And actually the next verse is the explanation what we should do. So we are doomed to commit offenses. We cannot really avoid offenses altogether. But we should not be complacent about it. These verses of Srimad Bhagavatam are there for us to look deeply within our heart and to make a resolve, to make our desire to avoid offenses strong and to repent the offenses. The offenses, well, what can we do? Sometimes we do commit offenses. We cannot avoid this. But at least we have to be repentful. We have to be remorseful. We have to really be sad about it. We shouldn't take it for granted. We shouldn't take it, you know, that that's fine, you know. Little offenses, it's a spice for my devotional service. Otherwise, it becomes really boring, you know. So one should not do this, you know. This is foolishness. One should perform devotional service at the same time study what offenses is and try to avoid offenses. If we try to avoid offenses, this itself is good enough. And then we take shelter of the holy name. And that's exactly what the Lord says in the next verse. The Lord says that if you do this, it's interesting, performing His prescribed duties, one should worship the deities to the Supreme Personality of Godhead until one realizes my presence in his own heart and in the hearts of all living entities. Before that, he said, you know, you worship my deity. And what is the use of it if you don't recognize my presence in the hearts of every living entity? And in the next verse, he says, you should worship my deity until you recognize the presence of myself in the hearts of living entities. So you should perform devotional service, but with this understanding. The devotional service should be conscious with this understanding that the Lord is there and you should try to avoid the offenses. If you try to avoid the offenses and then performing the devotional service, then it will be progressive devotional service. Whereas if you are neglectful or kind of, you know, complacent in your performance of devotional service, then it's not good. This is not good. So that's simple answer to this riddle.
Yeah. My last question. I don't want to take an inordinate amount of time. What were the offenses that Bharat Maharaj committed? This is one of those, I don't know if you know the detail. I don't know.
It's not specified in Srimad Bhagavatam, but Srila Jiva Goswami, to prove that this attachment to this little deer was a result of offenses, he quotes one passage in prose from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is said specifically that the cause of this was some karma. And then he explains that karma as such cannot be the result of this kind of things, because karma is very easily destroyed by the performance of devotional service. So he says, when Srimad Bhagavatam says karma, it specifically means some offense in the course of devotional service which he committed against the Lord. It's not specified exactly what, but some karma, some offense. It's not karma in an ordinary sense of the word, but some karma or some activity which he committed. Okay, that's it. Okay. Okay. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Shri Gaurinitai ki, Jai Shri Krishna Balarama ki, Jai Shri Radha Shyama Sundara Lalita Vishakha Devi ki, Jai Gaura Premanande.